Dear Judge, I've been listening to your podcast for a few weeks now, and at first, I wasn't really that big of a fan. But for some reason, I continue to listen every day. You come off as smug and irritating at times, and half the time, I have no clue what you're talking about. But you do seem to know your stuff. I definitely will not doubt your basketball knowledge. And I hate to admit it, but you do make me laugh at your ridiculous jokes, movie references, and nicknames of players. And fine, you've made me some DFS money as well. So thanks for that. But up until today, I still didn't think you were anything special. However, when I went to find your pod, DG Courtroom, it wasn't there. I then saw on Twitter, on your Twitter feed, that you had a business trip and couldn't do a show for us. So I listened to, I think you call it Sleepy Grinders instead. Which, by the way, used to be my favorite and go-to DFS podcast before I started listening to yours. And it was painful. It reached a level of boringness I cannot quantify. I honestly couldn't get through it. Judge, what have you done to me? It took me not being able to listen to your podcast to fully appreciate how much I enjoy and need your show as part of my day. So in short, please never take another day off again. Keep up the great work. Signed, Advinsanity Forever 7923. Well, thank you for the note, Vinsanity. And guess what, guys? The judge is back with a vengeance. Now let's start the show.
Court is now in session.
This episode of DG Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Draft takes just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Friday, March 10th, 2017. A very manageable 8-game slate. This is perfect for all of us. Not too many games. And you made it to the weekend as well, so congrats to that. I'm your host, The Judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter, at DanielAGreen1. As most of you know, yesterday there was no podcast. I actually took a day off of playing DFS. I think it may have been the first day all year that I sat out a slate for NBA DFS. Maybe there was one other one on like a 2-game slate that I sat out. But I had a business trip. I had to travel to the lovely state of New Jersey, which is not that lovely. But I had for work, I had a long day of meetings over there, so I could not do a podcast. I had to wake up. Right now it's 3:30 a.m. Eastern in the morning or at night, however you want to look at it. And I basically had to wake up 5 o'clock to get an early train to go to Jersey yesterday. So there's no possible way for me to do the podcast. And right now I am hurting. I am exhausted. I should be sleeping. But no, I shall come through because of the glorious emails. Actually, it was a DM that I got from guys like Vinsanity Forever. It was pretty funny. I got a lot of nice messages and some hateful ones as well from some trolls when there was no podcast for Thursday slate. But I do love hearing from you. I don't know. It's somewhat funny, man. I could lead off like every show reading one of the emails or DMs or one of the weird notes that I get. I get like the oddest messages. Like that one was actually first of all, that one summed up the show beautifully, right? I mean, he basically had some insults at me, which is totally fine. But he basically got the show. If you listen to this show for a while and then you go back and try to listen to Sleepy Grinders and one of the other shows, it's hard. Those other shows are all the same. So if you want a show that's going to debate Beal or Booker, player X versus player Y, and only talk about that, go listen to one of those shows. There's a million of those out there. There's a new one every day. I'm trying to do something a little wacky, a little different, entertaining, yet still informative. Also, obviously, help you make some money, but it has to be unique. There's just too much stuff out there that's getting too mundane, and just it's lacking any creativity whatsoever. So, yeah. So I enjoyed the note that guy sent me. Anyway, before we start the show, please do 3 things for the judge. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. I say it all the time. And I think some of you think I'm just kidding. I'm just pulling your chain. I am not. Like, things like that mean a lot. especially even like nice little notes like that. That means a lot. That helps get me through the show today because I am exhausted. Half of me wants just to be sleeping. A lot of the listeners, man, you guys pull me through. So I hear from all the trolls all the time. So occasionally when I get a nice little message, it can be uplifting. But also in terms of just the show in general, and sponsors and all kinds of other stuff, there's a bunch of stuff going on behind the scenes. Hopefully I can fill you in on soon. That could be some good stuff. And a lot of it's because of the listeners. So when you do rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, especially get those ratings up on iTunes, on Stitcher, that really helps me out. So please do that. Also, retweet out the show. When I tweet out the link for the show, please retweet it so we can get more followers. And if we get 100 retweets, remember, we need 100 retweets, then I will also provide more content for you, a 5 to 10-minute video clip, audio clip around, let's say, between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern on Friday, giving you my top plays based on all the injury news that's going to take place from the time I do this podcast now and from, until lineup lock tomorrow. So hit that lovely RT button. Also support the sponsor. Download the lovely app Draft. And when you do, make sure you use the promo code DFBPOD. If you cannot find out where to use the promo code, let me know your username on the app, and I will make sure you get credit. And the sponsor is happy with me as well. I also want to give a quick shout out to Stephen Cav at Stephen. Though he took down the last Judge's Chambers on Draft. Which, as you guys know, we have a Judge's Chambers. It's released on that app every Wednesday. There's a new one that comes up. It's 128 people. It's a 7-day challenge, bracket challenge to the death. So each day it's head-to-head. The winner keeps advancing. He won the whole thing, $500. And congrats. It was a really good field. And like I tell you guys in every podcast, I'm not in control of that, of the link to that contest. So there's people from Roto Trash, Sleepy Grinders, all kinds of sites that are playing that. And Stephen Cab took down everyone, including the judge. I was in there as well. Did not do that well. And we currently have a bracket up. I think the round of 32 takes place on Friday. So if you're still in that, let me know. I want to know who's playing and how you're doing. Keep me posted, like Stephen Cab did. So in terms of chambers, there was no chambers on Thursday because actually, you know what? Around like 7:02 Eastern, I think I unleashed a sneaky ninja. I tweeted out a link to a sneaky ninja chambers. So I think we did have one on FanDuel. But like I said, I mean, I think I spent 3 minutes doing research and just put in one lineup in chambers and also threw it in like a $2 GPP just in case. But I really didn't. I really set out this slate. I just didn't have the time to do any research or play. But so we did only had one on FanDuel, a Brittingham T. Took it down with a score of 335. There were high scores on this slate because you had, relatively cheap guys go nuts, and you had a guy like Nurkic put up a 77 FanDuel point night. So that's going to obviously mean there's going to be monster scores. So it was a high scoring night. So on Friday, I'm not sure yet if I want to do a best of the best chambers, which for those of you who are new to the show, what is Chambers, you may be asking? Chambers is a daily tournament that we run, except for Thursday, which is the one day all year. Probably didn't have it, or at least didn't have it on DraftKings and three of them on FanDuel. Normally, it contains the best players in DFS across the universe. We have three of them running on FanDuel, 20 people each. We have one on DraftKings, 50 people are in that one. And then every Friday, we normally have a best of the best, which I take the people who are at the top of the power rankings, and I give them a special invitation to a special tournament. However, the problem is that since I've been so swamped with time, with work and the podcast and answering questions and all kinds of other stuff this week, I haven't had a chance to update the power rankings. So I think I want to update the power rankings this weekend, and I want to do a best of the best on Monday. So Friday, we'll be running chambers as usual. There'll be three on FanDuel, one on DraftKings, and then Monday we're going to shoot for the best of the best, and then I can update the power rankings this weekend. That's the plan. All right, let's do everyone's favorite segment, the Emmy Award-winning segment, Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. Real quickly, mine, in my one lineup that I played, Ulis. I took a shot with Ulis because Bledsoe was questionable, and to me, Ulis, ever since Tyler Ulis from Phoenix has become a thing, he's basically put up two duds, and that's what happens. If DFS did not exist, he would have had two good games. But because DFS exists, Of course, he had to crap the bed two nights in a row. Even against the Lakers, he put up, what, 8 FanDuel points? But Bledsoe was questionable. So for me, as a tournament player, it made all the sense in the world to take a shot with Ulis. Because even if, one, Phoenix could have blown the Lakers out. Surprisingly, the Lakers almost blew Phoenix out. Go figure. So one, Phoenix could have blown them out. And two, even if the game stayed close, Lakers are one of the worst defensive teams in the universe. So Ulis still could have had a good game. But it did not work out. Dream Lovers, obviously, I mentioned Nurkic. He was the key to being in every winning lineup. Let's dive into each game a little bit more in detail, shall we? There were 5 games. That was actually a pretty good slate. So I was sad that I could not play it. Hopefully you guys did and made some money. Let's talk Detroit, Cleveland. The Cavs lost again. Detroit took them down 106-101, which annoys me because I'm a D-Wade fan, which makes me begrudgingly a Bulls fan. And the Bulls are basically not going to make the playoffs. Detroit has passed them up. Miami's on the verge of passing up the Bulls, and Milwaukee's, I think, right on their heels as well. But so this is a good win for Detroit. The Cavs, you can't play 78-year-old Richard Jefferson 34 minutes and expect to keep winning every game. Whatever. God, I mean, the Cavs need Kevin Love. But for Detroit finally, I mean, I think Stan Van Gundy now has a sign that says, I will not start John Lure. You know, I have a sign that says, I will not play John Lure. Stan has one saying, I will not start John Lure, because he moved John Lure to the bench. John Lure, not a very good basketball player, probably shouldn't have been starting anyway. So he started Tobias Harris, and Tobias Harris got all the minutes in the world, 41 minutes. He shot horribly. He was 5-for-18, but he stumbled and bumbled and fumbled his way to surpassing value, because he was relatively cheap. And he had 15 points, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 9 rebounds. And if you played him, I think I did see him in some winning lineups. So even though he didn't shoot well, with those minutes and just the minutes alone and the usage rate, he was able to do okay. Drummond was fine, played 36 minutes. That's a minor miracle in itself. And he stayed awake the whole time, I think. 10-for-13 from the floor, 20 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists. But again, when you have a guy cheaper, like Drummond was what? I think on DraftKings, he was pretty cheap. It's like 6.7K. But the problem is when you have a guy either Nurkic was less expensive on FanDuel, and DraftKings, he was probably pretty close in price. When you have a guy like that who puts up 77 FanDuel points, it makes pretty much everyone else at center moot for that particular slate. So if you play Drummond, he did fine. It was not enough. Reggie Jackson, he had a good game for him. 31 minutes, again, for him, that's a minor miracle. It's a victory in itself. 21 points, 5 assists. KCP, just nothing. Nothing. I don't know what to make of this guy. I really don't, because 34 minutes, and he's turning – like he's a Magic Mountain guy. He's become unplayable on certain slates. He still gets tons of minutes. He got 34 minutes. He only took 10 shots. He was 5 of 10. He got 15 actual points. And he's cheap. He's so freaking cheap. He's like 5.1K on FanDuel. The problem is he did nothing else. Like where I mentioned, you know, Tobias Harris is stumbling, bumbling, and fumbling into rebounds, assists, blocks. KCP couldn't do anything. 0 rebounds, 0 steals, 2 assists. So it's just if you played him, you were probably pretty pissed. I think he was in the one freaking lineup that I did, and he just did not come through for me. Other than that, that's about it for Detroit. There was really no – I mean, Detroit's a tough team to play, man. And also the pace they play at is so disgusting. For the Cavs, it's LeBron and Kyrie and then nothing else. Channing Frye actually did well. Channing Frye only played 22 minutes off the bench, but he shot 5 of 7. All of his shots were from three-point range. 15 points, 9 rebounds in only 22 minutes. At his salary, that was a good night for him. J.R. Smith did come back for them. He didn't start, came off the bench, played 19 minutes. He did what J.R. Smith does. He shot 1 of 8 from the field, or actually 1 of 9, 1 of 8 from three-point range. Only 3 points. He was a minus 28, which is, God, that's ugly. LeBron and Kyrie took 44 shots. The rest of the team took 40 shots, which is about right. Both those guys were excellent. LeBron with 29 points, 10 assists, 13 rebounds. I think he had close to 60 FanDuel points. So he's still like surpassing value. Again, the problem was, on this slate, I saw winning lineups with like a Westbrook and a Nurkic. I didn't see many with a LeBron and Nurkic, which was surprising. I think the reason for that is because if you played a guy like TJ Warren, who was a lot cheaper than LeBron, obviously, he was around, what, like less than 6K, TJ Warren put up like 45 FanDuel points. So I think keep TJ Warren might have been the key to actually taking down some GPPs. But LeBron was excellent, and so was Kyrie, 27 points, 3 assists, 5 rebounds. The problem with Kyrie, Kyrie's so expensive, even with that line, I don't even think he hit value. So, you know, and similar, you know, whenever we get to the OKC game with Westbrook, Westbrook had a phenomenal night. If this was like an 11-game slate, it would not have been enough. But because it was a, you know, 5-game slate, I saw him in winning lineups. But he really didn't hit quote-unquote value. He didn't get 5 times his salary because he's so dang expensive. Other than that, I mean, for Cleveland, everyone else is basically irrelevant. Next game, Clippers-Memphis. On a 5-game slate, this game didn't have to be ignored. In the one lineup I did, I played some Blake Griffin. He actually played well. He looked good. The problem was, for whatever reason, the Clippers were able to blow out Memphis. So Blake Griffin only had to play 30 minutes. He had 14 points, 8 assists, 12 rebounds. He had like 40 Fando points. He was on his way to getting like 50-55. He would have played more minutes. He was really good against that tough Memphis front line, and he was like 7% owned, which was that was the key, and that was the reason why I wanted to play him in tournaments. And other than that, though, for the Clippers, no one really hit value. Chris Paul, he just hasn't been doing enough. 19 points, 7 assists, just not good enough at his price. DeAndre Jordan, 5 points, 11 rebounds, not good enough. It's just not freaking good enough. For Memphis, I know in the limited time I had, I saw some people, especially on RotoTrash, they love Mike Conley. Conley had a really bad game, 3 of 14 from the floor, only 13 points, 4 assists. Marc Gasol, not quite good enough, especially when Nurkic is sitting and dropping 80 bombs. Marc Gasol with 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Memphis did switch up their starting lineup. Brandon Wright and Ennis were starting, and they put JaMychal Green on the bench along with Tony Allen on the bench, which was, I'm not sure, whatever. I mean, it didn't really matter because Ennis only got 18 minutes and Brandon Wright got 15 minutes. You know, Zebo was the one Memphis guy who actually came through and hit value. Zebo, you know, still played his regular 25 minutes, 8 for 15, 18 points, 11 rebounds, and that's what he does. That's why he's on the team. I do have a website. I know I didn't even mention it today because I'm sick of mentioning it. It's on the verge of being launched, but I'm just being lazy and I'm being stubborn and I'm super anal and picky about every detail. So I haven't quite launched it yet, but I do have a page on there. It says Stumble and Bumble and Fumble Team. And I think Zach Randolph's on that team because he's stumbling, bumbling, fumbles his way to value every night. But that game was mostly, there's nothing really good from that game. Not surprisingly. San Antonio, OKC. This was pretty surprising. OKC was able to beat San Antonio 102-92. Kawhi went out with like a head injury. You know, I think it was late in the third quarter, maybe. I think he's fine, but I'm not. I didn't even see the play. But that obviously could. First of all, if you watch the Spurs play, it's pretty amazing because they do not have a lot of talent. I mean, what's their record? 50-14. They're 27-8 on the road, and their team, talent wise, is pretty atrocious. Besides Kawhi, who else do they have? LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, I don't know, man. He's just not very good. I don't know. He's so well. It doesn't help that he's so bland and boring in person. I mean, just you know, his personality. But I don't know. When's the last time you played LaMarcus Aldridge? Honestly. You know what I want you to do? All of you, tweet at me. When was the last time you rostered LaMarcus Aldridge? I couldn't even tell you his salary. I know it's like around, what, like 6.8K or right around the 7K range on FanDuel at least. But like, he doesn't even enter my equation most nights. And I play almost everyone because I'm a tournament player. Look at the Spurs starting lineup. Danny Green, Murray, Deadman Walking, Kawhi, and LaMarcus. And then they have guys like Bertans, Gasol, who's 57 years old, Patty Mills, Jonathan Simmons. It's just Joel Anthony. That roster, I mean, God, what? So basically, no one for the Spurs did anything. And Kawhi, at his salary, didn't even come close to hitting value. Dream killers, the entire Spurs team. But Popovich, even though he's a dream killer in DFS most nights, dream lover in terms of his general real life coaching ability. I mean, how he's doing it with that team? It's pretty amazing, pretty remarkable. For OKC, Taj Gibson got the start over Sabonis. Finally, they did not start Sabonis. Not that it mattered because Sabonis is still going to only play 20 minutes anyway. Taj Gibson does what Taj Gibson does. He 7 points, 3 rebounds. It's about right. He stinks. He tries hard, but he's not that good anymore. Andre Roberson, pretty typical game for him. 7 points, 2 steals, 1 assist, 5 rebounds, 4 shots. Steven Adams, I'm still exactly not sure what's going on with Steven Adams. Maybe he's just getting tired of playing with Westbrook, so he's like he's given up on life. It's, I mean, you do. You got to start to wonder, man. And you are starting to hear more and more people start talk about it. Like, how fun is it to really play on that team with Westbrook just jacking up every shot? The sole mission for OKC is just to get Westbrook a triple double every night. So I don't know. I mean, this night Westbrook only took 21 shots. That's pretty shocking. He only made 7. But he did triple-double, 23 points, 13 assists, 13 rebounds, 2 steals. He was a dream lover. While he had 60 fandom points, that's not enough given his salary, you know, if you want to talk about hitting quote-unquote value. But because only a 5-game slate and a lot of guys underperform, like, you know, especially a lot of point guards like Dame, Judy Dench-Lillard, who put up basically a dud, Westbrook was in a lot of winning lineups. So he was really good. Oladipo was okay. He got 14 shots, so it's about as good as you can hope for playing with Westbrook. 20 points, 3 assists, 4 rebounds. And then other than that, Enes Kanter was good in 24 minutes, 14 points, 10 rebounds. He just could never get enough minutes, man. Philly-Portland, this was a cool game to watch. Went to overtime. A lot of guys from Philly put up some delicious fantasy point nights. Well, not a lot of guys, really just two. And it's the two guys you would expect at this point. Since the All-Star break, for the most part, Covington and Saric are in beast mode. They're tremendous. Especially in this game, Covington was everywhere. 24 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. I saw him basically guard every player on Portland during the stretch of that game. He was sensational, over 40 fando points. Saric was great again as well. 28 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. The rest of the Philadelphia was not that good. I guess Okafor on paper had a decent night, 16 points, 8 rebounds. The problem was I used to think Vucevic was the worst defensive center in the NBA. Now it's not even close. I mean, Okafor is the worst, second worst, third worst. I mean, we could have an all NBA team of worst defensive players. It doesn't even have to be by position. He would be the first team on every position. He's just a disgraceful NBA player on the defensive end. Nurkic, I mean, everyone abuses him, but what Nurkic did to him, it was just unbelievable. And I think I mentioned on the previous podcast, I'm pretty sure Nurkic is getting bigger. Every time I see him, he's growing. I don't know what he's doing, but like he gets wider. Like look at his girth. The dude is just a monster. I mean, dear God. Speaking of Nurkic, I mean, Nurkic's line was just insane. It's not a possible. It's not even reasonable. 38 minutes, 9 for 18 from the floor, 10 for 13 from the free throw line. 28 points, 20 rebounds, 8 assists, which is shocking. I mean, Damian Lillard had 4 assists, so he led the team in assists. 2 steals, 6 blocks. I mean, just it was a phenomenal. I mean, 77 Fando points at his price. What was it, 12 times his salary, 13, 14 times? It was just something astronomical. He was amazing. Other than that, for Portland, C.J. McCollum was okay, 23 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Lillard was not very good, 6 of 21 from the field, 24 points, 4 assists. The lack of assists really hurt, and the bad shooting really hurt. Harkless was doing what he does, 10 points, 9 rebounds. Harkless is basically – he's basically Roberson on steroids. And then Aminu, dream killer for Aminu. Aminu had got all the minutes in the world, but he was 38 minutes, 1 for 7, only 2 points. Did have 2 blocks, 2 steals. And then the late night hammer, Lakers Phoenix. The Lakers won a game, which if you're a Lakers fan, you're probably pissed off they won that game because as you guys know, they have a lottery. Their draft pick is only top 3 protected. So they need to finish in that top 3, otherwise the pick goes to Philly. And I think the Lakers and Phoenix are, you know, Phoenix is 21-44 on the season, and the Lakers are 20-45. So they're battling neck and neck for who's going to be the second worst team in the NBA. Brooklyn is obviously going to be the worst. I think that Brooklyn has what, 11 wins. So the Lakers are dream killers if in real life, because this was not a good. I mean, they need to lose games. in terms of watching them play, all the young guys played well. Randall was good. Ingram was really good. Go figure. The one night I don't play, he finally has a good game. And D'Angelo Russell was excellent as well. Russell, 34 minutes. And the minutes are the key. They're all getting big minutes now. And my favorite thing about this game, finally, Nick Stupid Young, who should be cut and not even be in the NBA. It's just a joke. Why is he, I mean, I get whatever. If you think he's a good shooter, fine. Maybe he can be a role player and come off the bench and make some threes for a team. But I would want that guy. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my team, especially a young team like this. Why they didn't dump him at the trade deadline for a bag of peanuts, I do not know. But he only got 14 minutes, thank God. So they gave Jordan Clarkson 35 minutes off the bench, which is beautiful. He was okay, 19 points, three assists, two rebounds, two steals. D'Angelo Russell got 34 minutes, 10 for 20 from the floor, 28 points, three steals, three assists, four rebounds. Excellent line for him. Ingram, 41 minutes, because Luke Walton loves Ingram the best. You know, basically, if you have like three kids, the Lakers basically have three kids, right? They have Russell, Ingram, and Randall. Ingram's the favorite. Like, and as the father, you never can say, you know, or as the mother, as the parent, you never can say which one's your favorite, right? But Ingram is clearly Luke Walton's favorite. And Magic Johnson's favorite, probably Magic Johnson's favorite as well. So Ingram, 41 minutes, 5 for 11 from the floor, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 14 points, also 2 blocks. You would like to see the usage rate go up a little bit, but still, if he can just stumble and bumble and give me the other peripheral stats, if he's playing that many minutes, I think he's going to be in play the rest of the season. And Randall was really good too. 32 minutes, 5 for 11 from the floor, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 13 points. For Phoenix, there was fantasy gold everywhere. Dream lovers. TJ Warren was such a dream lover. He was awesome. Devin Booker was a one-trick pony and okay. Bledsoe was not very – if you watch the game late, it looked like Bledsoe was tanking it and trying to lose it for Phoenix. He was the one guy who actually was not coming down up with clutch plays down the stretch. Phoenix was trying to come back late in the game, and Chris was making some plays. TJ Warren was, Booker was, Big Sauce Williams was off the bench, and Bledsoe was like stumbling, bumbling in a bad way and getting turnovers. Bledsoe was 4 of 12, only 13 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds, 7 turnovers too, which was painful. So if you played him, dream killer for sure. But TJ Warren was excellent, 8 for 17. From the field, 17 points, 13 rebounds, and that's not an anomaly. He's basically averaging like 10 rebounds and 17 points since the All-Star break. He's been phenomenal. He's been so consistent. He's like a cash game lock right now. Marquese Chriss was good as well, 6 for 9 from the floor, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Big Sauce Williams off the bench was good again. Man, he's just like a walking double-double. 16 points, 10 rebounds, only 22 minutes also. Soul Crusher, Dream Killer was Tyler Ulis for me. Only 16 minutes, only 5 shots, 1 for 5, 5 points, 4 assists. So it didn't work out if you took a shot on him. But it was still a good play. All right, that's it. So let's talk about today's slate for Friday. So a really good 8-game slate. I mean, normally on Wednesdays and Fridays, even Mondays, we've been getting – what, like 13 game slates? We, you know, last show, on Wednesday, we were in Cape Town, South Africa. You know, we've been in these glorious places. We were in Tokyo last week. We were in Melbourne, Australia, which someone also from Twitter told me, it's not even how, you don't even pronounce it Melbourne. So now I have no idea how to pronounce Melbourne. He basically told me, if you're from America, you can't pronounce it properly. Like, there's no way you can ever, like, you can't have, like, English, like, Americans just don't have the proper accent to properly pronounce Melbourne, Australia. So I give up. But we were in that city as well. I think we were in Paris a couple weeks ago. But this on an 8-game slate, I don't know what city we're in. Maybe, you know, we're not in a super large city, but let's see. We are basically in You know what? I'm gonna let you decide. Why don't you tweet at me? Let me know what city we are in for this 8-game slate, because I can't think of one off the top of my head at 4 o'clock in the morning. My head's fried. My brain's fried. But if you're new to the show, you're probably like, what's this guy rambling about talking about cities? The reason I say we're in a particular city on a slate is because I let the slate dictate what I do, right? The slate guides us. If I'm on a, you know, if it's a 12 game slate, I'm obviously going to choose different players and I have more options than I do on a 4-game slate, on a 5-game slate, on a 4 or 5-game slate. My options are a little bit limited, right? on a 12-game slate, I have all the options in the world. So when I make the analogy to cities, if you live in a city like Paris, you know, beautiful women everywhere. If you're a single person or if you're a single girl, beautiful guys everywhere. You have options everywhere. But on like a 2-3-4-game slate, then you're like where I'm from. I'm from, you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Not a lot of options. So you got to settle. You got to choose guys in this analogy, choose girls that normally you probably wouldn't choose. So on an 8-game slate though, you don't have the best choice in the world, but you don't have to force it and go crazy and play, you know, 7 Robersons in your lineup. So tweet at me what city we're in. I'm not sure right now. Let's talk injury news though for this slate. Vucevic's a big one, obviously, for Orlando. I mean, I'm getting sick. I'm tired of playing. Where's my gavel? Ow, here, man. I tried to slam my hand down instead of using the gavel, and that was not a smart move. I'm objecting to playing the Orlando guys. I'm sick of it. I'm so tired of playing Fournier and Aaron Gordon and Bismack. And meanwhile, Alfred Payton keeps going for 60 Fando points 2 games in a row. But if Vucevic's out, obviously all those guys are in play again. Alfred, Fournier, Aaron Gordon. I've left out Terrence frickin' Ross, who's killed me 2 straight games. So all the Orlando guys are going to be in play if Vucevic's out. Even if Vucevic's in, you can play some of those guys. But Vucevic he's going to dictate a lot of what we do on this slate. Damari Carroll is questionable for Toronto. Wade's finally going to play for the Bulls. God, do the Bulls need to start winning some freaking games. And that's an important game against Houston on Friday. Ryan Anderson still dealing with back spasms. I think Houston's going small. They started Eric Gordon last game, so he's somewhat intriguing. J.J. Barea. J.J.'s finally going to play for Dallas. How about that? I wonder, that's going to be pretty intriguing to see what they do with him. He's always been a fancy point-per-minute guy. He's made me a ton of money over the years. So if he starts, if he gets healthy, and I don't know, I have to look at the standings. Dallas can't be that far back from the 8th spot. Like, they're still in it. And if they need to win games, Carlisle could start giving J.J. 20 to 24 minutes a night. And if he gets that kind of run, he could be in some winning GPP lineups some nights. If you're a Yogi Bear fan, might not be the best sign in the world. Brooke Lopez is out with a sprained right ankle. Ooh, so maybe some Brooklyn guys. Oh, God, that's going to be fun. Jokic, obviously monster one with Jokic and Gallinari for Denver. Both questionable. If those guys are out, Plumlee is just a beautiful play. So safe for cash games. Also upside for tournaments. And then Wilson Chandler is an elite tournament play without Jokic and Gallinari. Especially if Gallo's out. All right. Oh, no. Where's my sound effects? Because we got to take a quick flight to Vegas. So you guys talk amongst yourselves. Well, don't mind me. Don't mind me one bit here. Hope you guys are ready for any good weekend plans. What are you guys going to do? Something good, right? It's taking forever. My apologies. Okay, here it's going to come. We're flying to Vegas. Here we go. We're in first class. Where's the stewardess? I want a cocktail. All right. That was it. That was such a lame sound effect. God, that's so freaking lame. Need better sound effects on this show. By the way, which I'm working on. There's someone who's supposed to be helping me with that. He's been slacking. Anyway. So 8 games, best game of the night in terms of over-under, Houston-Chicago. I already mentioned that game, 223 over-under. Pretty delicious over-under here for the Bulls, because if you've been watching the Bulls, and sadly, painfully, I have been, watching the Bulls is basically like listening to Rototrash for me. It's been that painful lately. First of all, the pace that they're playing at is dreadful. It's going in the wrong direction, and they've just been so bad. And I don't know what the hell Coach Hoiberg is doing. Wade's also been out. Is Butler hurt? What the frick is going on with Butler? He's been a mess lately. Even without Wade the last couple games, he has not played well. It's been super bizarre. So this Houston-Chicago game, Houston's favored by 4.5. The Bulls need to get a win. Fantasy gold everywhere. Bulls playing way up in pace. Another really good game is Golden State to Minnesota. 216 over-under. Golden State, has not looked good without Durant. They are struggling. Clay and Steph have both been pretty abysmal since the All-Star break. But that's one of the good thing about that. It's kept their prices relatively low, even though Steph's over 10K. But there's going to be a lot of – that's a game you can stack, a lot of fantasy goodness in that game. Washington, Sacramento, 213 over-under. Not a huge fan of playing Kings, but that's not a horrible game. Brooklyn, Dallas, 213 over-under. Dallas is favored by 12. That's which tells you how bad Brooklyn is. Dallas is favored by 12, and Dallas is not a very good team. So it's a pretty amazing line. But Brooklyn plays the fastest pace in the league. So Dallas playing way up in pace. So are some of those guys going to be in play? Absolutely. In terms of games to avoid, really the only nasty games in terms of over-under is Toronto, Atlanta, 201 over-under. Atlanta's a two-point favorite. There's really no one in that game that I really have any desire to play in like a cash game. Orlando, Charlotte with a 206 over-under. Depending if Vucevic plays. If Vucevic plays, I don't really need anyone in cash games for that game either. Then Indiana, Milwaukee's a 209 over-under. How about Giannis? Came through last game after I trashed him on the show. He came out through with what, like a 60 FanDuel point nightmare? I think he even had like 70. I think he had like over 70 DraftKings points. So I think I played him on DraftKings that night, but not on FanDuel. Where on DraftKings, he was much cheaper. I think he was like 9.8K on $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings. All right, you know I love three things in life. I love the Bailiff. By the way, I saw some of you followed him on Instagram. If you want to follow the Bailiff on Instagram, feel free. He is ed.harris.frenchy. And many of you have asked, why is his name Ed Harris? Yes, I am a big Ed Harris fan, the actor. But it started off as a joke and it kind of gathered steam. It's a long story. Maybe one podcast I can go into the story behind naming the Bailiff. But I love the Bailiff. I love pace. And I love usage, especially on this slate, man. So Dallas playing way up in pace against Brooklyn. Minnesota way up in pace against Golden State. And Chicago way up in pace against Houston. And not surprisingly, when I was doing my initial lineups, I had a lot of guys on Dallas, Minnesota, and Chicago. And do I think it's probably going to stay that way? At least in some of my lineups for Friday? Absolutely, it will. All right, let's hop into the plays. Hop into the plays at each position. All right, point guard. So John Wall is 10.7K. And the problem here is just, where's the ceiling, guys? Again, I think on last show, my analogy, right, was I told you to grab a ladder, step and go on the ladder, and then punch a hole through your ceiling. And then that's basically was whatever. So some player, I forgot who the player was. But when you think of that player, think of your hand through a wall without a ceiling. And that's John Wall. At 10.7K, there's just no ceiling anymore. The floor is super safe. It's concrete. You're not going to fall through. But also Washington playing way down in pace. So do I feel any need to play Wall in a tournament? No. He's also just so expensive. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You know who's actually been Washington's best player lately? Bradley Beal. That's right. In case you couldn't hear me, like, I'm not sure how it's coming through with the microphone and on a podcast. Bradley Beal. That's right. Bradley Beal, guys. And I mentioned this on like my short show that I released via Twitter, about an hour before lineup lock. A couple days ago, like my entire slate was being dictated by Bradley Beal. Like that's how good he's been like since All-Star break. Like you watch them play, he's like initiating offense now. They're letting him handle the ball a lot more. His usage rate has been sneaky high. It's been going up the last month or so. He's been excellent. And with that said, can you play John Wall any day of the week? Of course. But will I play a lot of him on this slate? At that price, at least on FanDuel, probably not. Let me see what he is on DraftKings. So he's 10.7K on FanDuel. And on DraftKings, he's 10K. So on DraftKings, his price is better. It's somewhat more reasonable, but still, that's expensive. So Steph Curry, 10.2K. I still think it's a good tournament play. Like he's not going to keep shooting this poor forever. I don't understand why he's been so bad. I can't figure it out. He looks like a shell of himself. Maybe he just thinks it's the NBA Finals because he plays like crap every game now. He's not expensive. He's not cheap either. So the problem is at his price, he's 9.9K on DraftKings, so he's expensive on both sites. Not a cash game player for me, but tournaments, yeah, because Because can he put up a 60-70 FanDuel point night or DraftKings point night, especially in DraftKings where you get the Donkey Kong points for three-pointers? Yeah. So I'm going to stack that game. I'll play some Curry. Isaiah Thomas. So Isaiah's usage rate is still a very delicious 35.3%. His price has been going down, which is great. On DraftKings, it's 8.7K. His production has also gone down. Now, some of that's Avery Bradley been back. Some of that's also just been a variety of other factors. But now he gets Denver. So this is where we talk about he has a great usage rate. The price is now somewhat reasonable. And he gets the best matchup in the world because we want to attack Denver point guards. And it's going to, and first of all, there was no over-under in this game because we're still waiting, and no line because we're still waiting on Jokic and Gallinari. But even if those guys can play or can't play, to me, Isaiah Thomas is safe for all formats on this slate because playing it's going to be way up in pace. So, yeah, I think he's a really good play. I have not played a lot of him in a while, but now we're getting to a point. I mean, he was over 10K for a while. Now he's a nice salary, nice pace. Everything says it's a go for this slate. Kemba Walker, 8.4K. Kemba's been really good since the All-Star break. He's been basically lock and load for 40 Bando points. So he's become a really nice cash game play. The problem is not monster ceiling. So if you don't have the money to play Isaiah Thomas, let's say you're super nervous about this slate. You don't know what to do. You know, it's craziness. You know, maybe it's your first time playing DFS. Just put Kemba in and just relax and just take your 40 Fando points and move on with your day and the rest of your lineup. Because Kemba right now is like a relaxing meditation retreat. He's been great, guys. He really has been. So not the Charlotte Batums, the Charlotte Walkers. So Kemba, safe for all formats, although not a really great tournament play. Ricky Rubio. Rubio's basically been as good as Curry has been. Curry's been around the 40s in FanDuel point production. So has Rubio. Except Rubio's $3,000 cheaper. And now they're playing each other. I think Rubio on this slate is safe for all formats. 7.1K is not cheap. And I'm not a fan of playing guys with a usage rate of, oh God, it's going to pay me when I look at Rubio's usage rate. Oh, you know what? It's actually pretty good. 20.3%. That's much higher than I would have expected. So obviously you're playing Rubio. If any actual points he gets is a bonus. And he's been scoring like in double digits the last week or so, which is good for him. You're playing him because you're hoping he's going to get you a triple-double, and especially you're hoping he's going to get you like 12, 15 assists and also like 5 steals. So this high-paced game against Golden State, I don't mind it. I think it's quite honestly, do I like playing Rubio in cash games? No, I'm not a fan of it. But I think he's fine for all formats. I really do. Dennis Schroeder, tournaments only. I mean, we saw him get benched a couple nights ago against Brooklyn. Though he was really good, but it's Brooklyn. So I mean, it's not very hard to be good against Brooklyn. He had 43 Fando points. The problem is, I don't know what his ceiling is these days. So tournaments only. Do I envision him being in the winning GPP lineup? It's hard to see. I guess there's a way it could happen. If I play 10 lineups, maybe I have Dennis in two of them. Elfrid Payton. Now, the problem with Elfrid Payton, the fact that he put up two straight games of 166 Fando points, other 44 Fando points. The problem is, what else? The price is going to go up, which makes sense. Now, on DraftKings, on Fando, he's 7K. Can you play him in cash? No, you cannot, especially if Vucevic comes back. Yeah, definitely tournaments only, but he still is a walking triple-double that not waiting to happen, but can happen. He's basically like a JV. No, you know what? Because, you basically have there's like a freshman team, then a junior varsity team, and then a varsity, right? So he's like the freshman team version of Russell Westbrook at this point. Not a JV team, not that good, but either the freshman team maybe. So he could get you against Charlotte. It's a somewhat of a slow paced game as well. So it's not really a game that I mentioned the over under is what, only 206. So it's not a game that I want a ton of exposure to. But I'll say this, the last time Elfrid put up 66 Fandom points, you know who he did that against? Chicago in a super slow paced game. I'm pretty sure I tweeted out snail emoji, turtle emoji watching that game. So Elfrid Payton, he's shown that in slow paced games, he can put up monster lines. You know what else? I remember this year he put up like a 60 Fandom point night against Utah. So Elfrid Payton, man, while we do hate him because this is – and also why he's the ultimate tin man. because he does have all the talent in the world, but some games he just doesn't show up. So don't do it in cash games, but you can do it in tournaments, but also take into account also recency bias, right? Everyone in the world's aware that he's had two straight monster games. So is he going to be higher owned than he should be? Yes, he will be. Jeff Teague, 7K. Against Milwaukee in a really slow-down, disgusting game, I don't really have much desire to play him. And also, the problem playing him lately is the minutes. Everything's trending in the wrong direction. His usage is going down. The minutes have been going down. They've been letting other guys from Indiana handle the ball. Also, if guys in the second unit have it going, Nate McMillan will play guys in the second unit a lot of minutes. I've seen that happen like three or four times lately, and it drove me freaking insane every time when I'm watching Rodney freaking Stuckey. Oh, CJ Miles, God bless the real CJ Miles. You can, you know, feel free to Google that if you want to, the real CJ Miles. So, you know, God, I mean, he'll let, if the bench, CJ Miles, Glenn Robinson, Stuckey, Monte Ellis, if those guys are playing well, he'll let those guys get extra minutes. So Teague tournaments only. Patrick Beverley, 5.5K. I haven't played Beverley in a long, long time. Do I see any reason to on this slate? Not really. I guess if Anderson's out, maybe that would, and the Bulls really do struggle defending point guards. Alfred Payton just torched them. And that's not, you know, that's not a rarity. Think about the Bulls point guard situation. What is it? Grant, MCW, Rondo, it's bums. It's garbage cans. So, you know, Beverley, 5.5K, it's a very fair price. If you probably can do it for cash games, he's probably going to get you, find a way to bumble and stumble and fumble his way to around 25 FanDuel points. Ty Lawson. I don't know what to do with these Sacramento guys. I really don't. It's just Ty Lawson. The problem is if he was 4.5K, I'd have some interest. 5.5K, not a big fan. If it was a 5-game slate, I'd be intrigued. 8-game slate, I don't really need to. If he's starting, though, maybe I'd play him in like one or two lineups. Jeremy Lin, 5.4K. So Lin's minutes are slowly creeping up, a 25 last game. If he could just get like 30 minutes, I'd play him. Quite honestly, I might play him if he only gets 24 minutes. So I think he's reached a point now where we at least can consider him. Also, if Brooke Lopez is out, who's going to score? Who's going to shoot? So Jeremy Lin, he does have on the year like a 28% usage rate in his like the four games he's played. Dallas is obviously not an ideal spot. It's a slow-paced game. But Lin's price is fair, 5.4K. On DraftKings, he's 5K. So is he a tournament play on the slate? Yeah, he is. He's a sneaky ninja play. Brooklyn's going to need someone to shoot the damn ball. So even if he only gets 24 minutes, he could take 15 shots. Darren Collison, the same as Ty Lawson. Whatever. I just don't really have much of a desire at that price. You can do it. Yogi Ferrell, the fact that JJ's coming back, I think that's going to hurt Yogi. So, again, I'm not a huge fan of him of Yogi on this slate. Where is JJ Brea? So JJ Brea is 4.7K. I probably wouldn't play him in his first game back. I want to see how many minutes he gets. Other than that, guys under 5K or around 5K, Corey Joseph. And, man, I'm telling you, no one wants to play Corey Joseph. People keep sleeping on him. I'm playing him like every night in cash games, and I'm winning every night in cash games. He's 5K. He's like a guarantee. He's a lock for 20 to 25 FanDuel points. So to me, I think he still has upside at that price as well. Now on DraftKings, he's 5.3K. So that's fair price to me on all sites. Also Atlanta, he's going to get Dennis Schroeder defense. To me, the two worst point guards defensively are Isaiah Thomas and Dennis Schroeder. So Corey Joseph is another sneaky ninja play. No one plays him. I'm like the only guy who's playing him. He's low owned. Get on board. You'll make money. Rajon Rondo, 5K. You can do that in tournaments. Brogdon, 4.8K. The usage and minutes really are trending in the wrong direction. So on 8-game slate, don't really feel the need to do that. And then I don't want to do Dinwiddie, Dindoodle, Win Waddle. I just like pronouncing that. I just like saying his name. He's still getting 23, 24 minutes. All right, shooting guard. So James Harden's 11.8K. And can someone answer for me? Is he fat? I don't know. Is he fat or is he not fat? I swear to God. Also, look at his FanDuel picture. His face is fat. I'm pretty sure he's just eating Cheetos all the time. I'm pretty sure if you smell his beard would smell like Cheetos. I don't know. But in terms of getting back to like real life and DFS, He's been good since All-Star break, but he's 11.8K on FanDuel. On DraftKings, I'm guessing he's probably a little bit cheaper, 11.6K on DraftKings. That's just really freaking expensive, and he's got to give you on a slate like this. If he doesn't give you 65, 70 FanDuel DraftKings points, you probably can't win a GPP. Can he do it? Sure. He just hasn't been lately. The thing lately, his rebounds have been down. The assists have been okay. The scoring has been somewhat okay. The shooting has been really bad. The turnovers have been a big issue. Six, seven assists the last couple games. Against the Bulls, you can do it, but am I going to do it in cash games? I don't know. As of right now, I am not. But yeah, he's going to get a 70 FanDuel point night before the season ends. It's a matter of when. Giannis is 11K, so he finally had a big night. He finally had about 69 FanDuel points over 70 DraftKings points. Now the price went up a little bit on FanDuel. Now it's 11K. Which is disgusting. And on DraftKings, where is he? Where are you, Giannis? He's 11. Yeah, okay. So on DraftKings, he's still much fairer price, 10.1K. So on DraftKings, do I want to play some Giannis? I do. I think this is a matchup that's okay against Indiana. Not elite, but the pace should be okay. On FanDuel, it's still too expensive. I wouldn't do it in cash games. Tournaments, you can do it, though. I mean, one contrarian view that I do use is when a guy is overpriced, you know that's going to keep ownership down. So it does have a rationale. That's why he would be a decent tournament play. But it's hard to envision him giving you another 70 FanDuel point night. DeMar DeRozan, 9.7K against Atlanta. So I'm pretty sure Atlanta is going to put Cephalosha on DeRozan. Cephalosha, man, that guy is long. He's a good defender. So I know DeRozan has like a 40% usage rate without Lowry, but he's not cheap. He's 9.7K. So do I love that play on this slate? No, not a huge fan. Wade, 7.7K. He's going to play. No one ever plays Wade. And every show, every podcast, everyone just always trashes Wade all the time. He has not been good, lately. He's always been hurt also. But the three games before that, he wasn't good as well. So probably tournaments only, but if he plays, he should be well rested, right? He hasn't played what, in a week, 2 weeks? He's played what, 3-4 games in the last month? So nice tournament play. He could pop off a 40-45, FanDuel point night. The problem is this: at the same price, Bradley Beal. Now, if you play Wade, you're basically hoping that everyone's going to, jump on and play guys like Beal or Clay or Seth Curry, which they will. And then you'll get, Wade, you'll get it at a much lower ownership. And is it possible that Wade could outscore those guys? Of course. Also, Wade is in the highest over-under game of the night against Houston. It's playing way up in pace. So maybe that will make his ownership a little bit higher. But Bradley Beal, like I mentioned at the top of the show, I mean, he's been Washington's best player. He's been better than Wall. He's been great. The last two games have not been that great on FanDuel, 33 and 33 FanDuel points. But at this day, that's like his floor. Very fair price, 7.6K on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he is 7.5K. So to me, safe for all formats. Now, it's not the best game in the world because Sacramento is going to slow that game down. But I think also that's going to keep Beal's ownership down. So to me, safe for all formats. Klay Thompson, 6.9K. I've been stubborn. I keep playing Klay. He actually came through for me last game. 39 FanDuel points. Still, I don't even think he's still a one-trick pony. I don't even know if he shot that well that game against Boston. I guess he shot 11 for 23 from the floor. Only 2 for 8 from three, though. So to me, he's still an elite play because his usage rate without Durant goes up over 6 percentage points. And that price is still very fair. If he gets hot, he can give you a 50 FanDuel point night. So he's been inconsistent. It's been frustrating. He's not been shooting well. With that said, as of like right now, I would say he'd be in probably half my lineups. maybe I'll lower that. But I mean, I played a ton of him last game and it paid off. And I see no reason to differ again on this slate. Seth Curry, 6.2K. Love the matchup against Brooklyn. If you don't play Clay, if you're scared of playing Clay in cash games, which maybe you should be, quite honestly, Seth Curry just seems like a really safe play these days for cash games. And now he's basically been a lock and load for 30 Fando points. That's what you want. And now he gets Brooklyn, the best matchup in the world. I am a little nervous about how J.J. Brea is going to impact his minutes. It probably will impact his minutes a little bit. But remember, this is J.J.'s first game back, so I think Curry should be fine for Friday. Tim Hardaway Jr., I played a lot of him on Wednesday, and that did not work out great. Although he still got me 25 Fando points. I was surprised. He was pretty low-owned. I thought he'd be somewhat chalkish against Brooklyn, but he wasn't. I think it's because people are scared to play guys coming off the bench. Like Tim Hardaway Jr. is still not starting, but they start Bazemore and Cephalosha, and he's their sixth man. But if he gets hot, even if he does, and he still plays like over 30 minutes a game, he can hit 40 Fando points if he gets hot. So against Toronto, maybe you don't want to play him in tournaments. Go Seth Curry in in cash games, but he's still an elite level tournament play. I don't care what the matchup is. When he gets hot, he's going to keep shooting and put up a big number. Another just a really good cash game play. It's just every night is Evan Fournier. His price just never seems to go up. He had 37 Fando points last game. He's 5.6K on Fanduel, 5.7K on DraftKings. And to me, especially if Vucevic's out, that's just too cheap. So I would play him again. The more I think about it, maybe I don't need to play a Beal and Clay in cash games. I mean, you can use a Seth Curry, Evan Fournier cash game lineup at shooting guard. Both those guys should get you value. Then you got Lou Williams, tournaments only. Gary Harris also. Gary Harris to me also is now only a tournaments only guy. I mean, I don't care. Last two games, he's been good again, 34 and 27, but whatever. He's burned me too many times this year. Quite honestly, the last like 10 games, he's been good in like eight of them. And especially if Jokic and Gallinari are out, Gary Harris becomes an elite tournament play. And you probably can do it for cash games. With the caveat that he is getting Boston, so it's probably going to be Avery Bradley defense, and that's really good defense. Speaking of Avery Bradley, 5.5K. He got 30 minutes last game. That's the positive. Now he is also playing Denver, so Boston playing way up in pace. You can do it. The price is okay. If he gets 30 minutes, he could stumble his way into around 25 Fando points. Will Barton's 5.5K as well. Tournaments only. He hasn't had a big game since we had 30 Fando points. That's really what he needs to get hit value, quite honestly. So he hasn't had a big game since like February 13th, which is like a month. So it's been a while. So tournaments only. Other than that, then you got some 5K guys. Wes Matthews is 5.2K. Very safe play. He'll get you around between 20 and 25 Fando points. The usage rate's pretty disgusting. If you play Wes Matthews, if you watch Dallas play, he stands in a corner a lot. But the one reason about him, his minutes are secure because he plays defense. So Rick Carlisle loves him. Then again, he only got 25 minutes last game. But it was against the Lakers and then blew him out. So you can disregard that. He should be fine. Eric Gordon, 5K. I like Eric Gordon for tournaments a lot, especially if Ryan Anderson's out. I played a lot of him actually a couple on Wednesday. He played 40 minutes, so I don't even care. He only got 22 Fando points, but whatever. It's against Utah. Utah is not even a real NBA team. Yeah, they don't even count to me anymore. So 5K against the Bulls, if he's hit 6, 7, 8 threes, he'll give you 30, 35, 40 Fando points and help you take down a tournament. Could he be in the winning tournament lineup? Yes, he could be. Other than that, then you got some bums. Kilpatrick, Buddy Hield, Karl LeVert, Jeremy Lamb, yada, yada, yada. All right, small forward. Woo, the judges beat. I'm tired, guys. Man, that trip to New Jersey, the business trip, that took its toll on me. Ugh. Man, I was on the train for like 3.5 hours total today. And then also there was like no Wi-Fi for at least like half of it, which is so freaking annoying. All right, small forward. So Jimmy Butler, he's been just freaking really bad. I don't know why. It's been bizarre, frustrating without Wade. He should have taken 25 shots. He should have gotten us 50 Fando points. That should have been his like floor. Instead, he's putting these disgusting games like 38 Fando points, 43, 34, and that his price, that's not good enough. The only good thing about that is it kept his price low. Now he gets a nice game. Chicago playing way up in pace. With Wade coming back, people will hopefully jump off the bandwagon. I will not. I will stay on the bandwagon, and I will have a great deal of exposure to Jimmy Butler on this slate. I think he's a really good play again. Unless I hear he's injured or something, the Bulls need to win. And Trevor Ariza, if you haven't noticed, is not young anymore. That guy's lateral quickness is gone. So he is not a good defender. I don't know. They have no one to defend Jimmy Butler. Elite play in this format. Paul George, you know, if you want to get crazy, play a 10-man lineup of Elfrid Payton and Paul George. Wish we could have Sleepy Drummond on this slate as well. He could play his three sleepy guys. Whatever. Paul George, just he's so blah. I don't know. All of us should tweet at all the Indiana beat writers to see if Paul George decides that he wants to play. His price is very fair, 7.9K. So could Paul George, I mean, could he put up more FanDuel points than Jimmy Butler? I guess. But the problem is, if you look at his he's been in the 20s, like three out of the last 10 games. He's just so confused right now. I don't know what he's doing. Ugh, God, Paul George, I hate you. If you're a Pacers fan, like I'd like to hear some from Indiana Pacers fans. What's your current views on Paul George? Like, do you guys still want him? Like, has he been good this year? Has he not been good? Because I know from a DFS perspective, he's been a mess. But maybe in real life, you guys still think he's had a good year. But like when I watch him play, he's so not interested. He just stands there looking like he wants to be anywhere else in the world. Andrew Wiggins, 7.7K. So Wiggins, he was on a stretch where he was off Magic Mountain. He was a consistency monster. He was glorious when Zach LaVine went down. But now it's three straight games in the 20s, and he's made me very sad because I've lost some money trying to play him. Now, will I go back to the well against Golden State on this slate? I will. Will I play him in cash games? Probably not. But against Golden State, way up in pace, he's in a good spot here. He's due to have a breakout game, so I don't mind him. And if I play a guy like Wiggins, I would probably team him up with Rubio. And I'm probably going to have like a mini stack of this Golden State Minnesota game. Wilson Chandler is now jacked up to 7K. And that's because if Jokic and Gallinari are out, he's worth it. If those guys are playing, he's not. It's basically that simple. So if those guys are out, you could feel free to play Wilson Chandler in any format you want. Although he's going to get some Jay Crowder defense, and that's a pretty good defense. Chris Middleton, they finally jacked up Chris Middleton's price. So Middleton is now 6.8K on FanDuel. He's 6.6K on DraftKings. At that price, so now he's got to get us like 35 FanDuel points or DraftKings points to really pay off that salary. That's about his ceiling. So I don't mind it. Like I think it's okay for cash games, maybe, but not. I don't love that play anymore. Harrison Barnes against Brooklyn. So yeah. Harrison Barnes, he's usually only a cash game play for me. A super safe. You can put him in cash any day of the week. But on this may be one slate. You can probably use him in tournaments against Brooklyn. Jay Crowder, nice cash game play. Then you got some 5K, under 5K bums. You got Trevor Ariza. His price keeps dropping because he keeps getting worse, which is hard to do because he's been really freaking bad. But he's been consistently bad, given that at least. He's been consistently giving you around 20 FanDuel points. So if you play him, he probably won't kill your lineup. And then if he gets hot and makes some threes, he could help you win a tournament. The thing is, he's still getting big minutes. He got 37 minutes against Utah last game. So the minutes are there, especially if Ryan Anderson's out. He's going to get big minutes. So you could do it in a tournament. Terrence frickin' Ross, if it's 4.5K, and I'm going to play him again on this slate. And if he doesn't hit value for me in this slate, I will be breaking stuff. I really will be. He's been super frustrating. Now, it is Terrence Ross, so I probably shouldn't be that surprised. But 4.5K, if he's starting, that's something I need to take advantage of. So to me, safe for all formats. If Vucevic plays, maybe he's a tournament-only play. But still, that's so cheap. If he's going to get 30-plus minutes, he's got to get me around 20 FanDuel points. That's got to be the floor. And if that's the floor, that's a pretty decent floor. And he does have a ceiling of like 35, 40. Hollis Jefferson, 4.5K. The Bazemore, 4.4K. Bogdanovich, 4.3K. If you want to keep going back to that well for tournaments, last game he came back down to earth, only had 16 Fando points. PJ Tucker, somewhat intriguing, I guess, with Damari Carroll out. He played 38 minutes last game, only had 18 Fando points. I mean, PJ Tucker, you know, I know a lot of people got excited to play PJ Tucker last game when Carroll was out. I don't know why, though, because remember, it's PJ Tucker. He's playing for defense, so he's going to stand in a corner and watch DeMar DeRozan shoot. Never get excited to play PJ Tucker, especially on an eight-game slate. I mean, if you're playing him, if he stumbles and bumbles his way to 25, 30 Fando points, that's a miracle in itself. But he's not going to get a lot of shots. All right, power forward, Draymond Green, 8.1K. Very fair price for him. So you can play him any format you want. He's probably going to – his floor these days is around 33, 34 Fando points. Paul Millsap, it's always a boring play. And he's – him and Draymond Green are pretty similar these days. I still think Draymond Green has a little bit of a higher ceiling. So to me, Green would be a little bit better of a tournament play. Serge Ibaka, 6.8K in this Toronto-Atlanta game. Yeah, I just don't have a desire to pay that price tag for Serge Ibaka. So, not really. Dirk, all the Dallas guys you can play. The problem is Dirk, I mean, Dallas is a big favorite here. So how many minutes is he going to get? Only got 24 when they blew out the Lakers. He was great. He shot the ball amazingly. He had 39 Fando points. Do I see that happening again? Not really. You know, if this is a five-game slate, I'd be a lot more excited. But he wasn't winning tournament lineups on Wednesday, so could it happen again? I guess. I mean, power forward is not great. There's no Anthony Davis, although he'd get injured anyway. There's no actually Jokic. Well, if Jokic plays, he'd be the top play. But what are all the power forwards are this year? Blake hasn't been that good. Maybe power forward is not that good of a position anymore. I used to love power forward. What happened? I must be forgetting guys. But other than that, wow, this slate power forward gets ugly pretty fast. Then you got Markieff Morris. His price has dropped down to 6K. And I still, even at that price, I don't have a desire to play him. His minutes have been down. So no, thank you. Marvin Williams, 5.9K. Ugh, God, whatever. I mean, it's okay. Two of the last three games, he's giving you like 36 Fando points. So I guess you can do it. Aaron Gordon. Yeah, Aaron Gordon it's all these freaking Orlando guys. It's just so annoying. He's 5.6K. He's got big upside. So, yeah, if you want to do Aaron Gordon for any format, I think he's safe for all formats. If Vucevic's out. If Vucevic plays, probably tournaments only. Gorgui Dieng, 5.6K. It's all about the minutes with Gorgui Dieng because they do fluctuate a little bit depending if Minnesota wants to go big or small. Against Golden State, I don't know if I could see them going small. So, I call him Bajelica because I can't pronounce his name. I think it's Bielica, whatever his name is. B-J-E-L-I-C-A. I always, that's like the one name I cannot pronounce. But that guy picks up some of his minutes. They play Shabazz Muhammad some minutes. And so Gorgui Dieng's a tournament-only play for me. But if he gets minutes, I wish all teams against Golden State would just stay big. And they would just they could grab all the rebounds in the world, and they could – then. I think a lot of teams would start beating Golden State, but no coach wants to do that. Other than that, I don't know, man. Trevor Booker, Willie Cauley-Stein, Thaddeus freaking Young, the enigma that is Bobby Portis just never gets enough minutes. 19 minutes last game. You got the enigma that is Mirotić for the Bulls. 0 minutes last game. I think he was injured or sick. God only knows. Yeah, power forward is really ugly. It's disgusting. I mean, wow. If Jokic sits out, this will be a position I will be staring at all freaking day. I mean, I'm quite honestly, I don't like playing Draymond Green for cash, but I'm on this slate. I might freaking do it. I could see myself doing a Draymond Green Aaron Gordon combo or something disgusting like that. Ugh. Power forward might hold the key to this slate. All right, center Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, like I just said, against Golden State, man, if you just – big guys can destroy them. They're one of the worst rebounding teams in the league because they basically can play Draymond at the five. So Towns is in a really good spot. He's not cheap. If I play Towns, I'll team him up with Rubio, have some little correlation going. So I don't mind it. Will I do it for cash? No, I will not. Other than that, then center gets – pretty ugly pretty fast too. So center, not, power forward and center, not great positions on this slate. Dwight Howard, 7.1K. The problem is there's not enough minutes. So while you can, he's a very fine cash game. If you start getting nervous about what to do, you know, you're nervous Nelly about this slate, you can play some Dwight Howard. It'll be fine, especially because Toronto's going small. They're playing like Serge Ibaka at the five, because God forbid Casey could play Valanciunas at the five. He won't do it. So Valanciunas is going to get – then again, Valanciunas got 34 minutes last game, because that makes no sense whatsoever in life. Honestly, I just fell out of my chair seeing that. How did I not know that one? Where the hell was I during that game? That's not Valanciunas got 34 minutes last game? That may be a season freaking high. What the hell? Where the hell did that come from? Dwayne freaking Casey. Unbelievable. I mean, Valanciunas should be getting 34 minutes every night. That's how talented Valanciunas is. Anyway, I digress. So Dwight Howard's fine for cash games. Greg Monroe, man, if you want to play Jason Kidd roulette on this slate, I just never do. Whatever. So Greg Monroe's not for me. Miles Turner, another guy. This Indiana team is one of the most perplexing, frustrating teams to watch, to roster. So much I would love to play Miles Turner, I can't play a lot of him. You can attack Bucks Biggs, so I'll play him in one lineup just because I want to attack Bucks Biggs, but I don't trust Nate frickin' McMillan to give him minutes. Nerlens Noel, a sneaky ninja play that I really love because I love attacking Brooklyn. I'm so tired of Dallas. Maybe Dallas will rest Dirk, by the way. Why not against Brooklyn? I would do it. He already got his 30,000 points. Whenever Nerlens starts getting big minutes for Dallas, he will start putting up monster numbers. He really will. He's a really good fit for that team. Only 23 minutes against the Lakers, 33 Fando points. So he's not cheap. He's 6.2K. I think it's going to scare people away. So Nerlens Noel, I don't mind him. I'd probably do it tournaments only because I don't know the minutes right now because he's not starting yet. But tournaments, you can do it against Brooklyn. Al Horford, another sneaky ninja play. He's 6K. He's been drifting farther away from the hoop. I think I'm pretty sure one of these days you're going to watch Boston play and there's going to be 4-on-5 because you're going to be where's Al Horford? He's going to basically be resting on the defensive end. He's going to keep drifting farther and farther away from the hoop. So, but against Denver, way up in pace, why not? Gortat, tournaments only. Everything is turning in the wrong direction there. Mason Plumlee. If Jokic is out, to me, he's almost a lock and load. Denver plays Boston. We want to attack Boston bigs. Plumlee's a lock for like 35 minutes. Not 35, but he's a lock for 30 minutes. He's going to get you between 25 and 35 Fanduel points. And I think he has a high ceiling as well. This floor is like 25 to 35. I think the ceiling is like 40. So to me, 5.6K, safe for all formats. Remember, if Jokic is out. If Jokic plays, obviously, then I really don't want to play Plumlee at all. I just mentioned Volt Valanciunas. I mean, out of nowhere, he got 34 minutes. Before that, he was getting like less than 20 minutes a night. He's so supremely gifted offensively that to me, he's always a good tournament. He's always a tournament play. But do I see Casey giving him big minutes again? No, I don't. But I'll play him in one out of my if I play 10 lineups, I play him in one maybe. He's always super low owned. It's crazy low owned, rightfully so. Clint Capella, I don't mind that play because Bulls bigs are disgusting. Clint Capella has been good when he gets minutes. I mean, he against Utah, he put up 35 Fando points, which is pretty freaking phenomenal. That's basically my new philosophy is times everything by two against Utah. That's like the real life equivalent. So basically, Clint Capella had 70 Fando points in last game versus Utah, or it would correlate to 70 Fando points against any other NBA team. So now he gets the Bulls, very fair price. To me, Cody Zeller's 5.1K and Plumlee's 5.6K. Those guys, to me, are safer cash game plays. Probably Clint Capella, great tournament play. I mentioned Cody Zeller, 5.1K. Frank Kaminsky is still out, I think. As long as Frank is still out, Zeller is very safe for cash. He really is at that price. No issues using him for cash games. Tournaments too, quite honestly. I think he can get you like six times his salary. Bismack went back last game to being the Bismack that we all remember, which is a guy who just stands around offensively, doesn't do anything, only 13 Fando points. But remember, Orlando, if Vucevic's out, Orlando doesn't have any backup big, so he's going to get 35 plus minutes again. at that price, I'll use him a little bit. Recency bias, hopefully, is going to keep his ownership relatively low now. So he can – remember, he can still give you like 25, 30. It's not an elite play anymore, but it's still okay. And then Robin Lopez, another guy. You can play Robin Lopez if you want. I'm not sure against Houston if the Bulls are going to – you know, how many minutes they'll give Robin Lopez. You got 36 last game. You got 34 against Detroit. If he gets 34 minutes, he's going to get close to 26 to 30 Fando points. So then he'd become a really good play for all formats. The problem is if Houston goes small, the Bulls don't really have a need to play Robin Lopez. So it does carry some risk. That's about it. All right, that's the slate. We did it. We made it through. Woo, I am freaking exhausted. I'm going to sleep. I cannot believe I even have to go to the office at all tomorrow. Maybe I'll try to fake sick, although I probably shouldn't mention on a podcast that I'm going to fake being sick. Then again, once you're an adult, you guys, you know, remember when maybe some of you guys are still in school, but like when you're in school, you can just fake sick some days and occasionally just, you know, sit out of school. Once you're actually like working as an adult, you can't really do that. Cause I mean, if you fake sick, you got to make up the work. So then it's really doesn't plus like, especially in my profession, being a lawyer, you can't really fake sick. There's no such thing as a sick day, which kind of sucks, man. I miss being a kid. Anyway, that's the show. If you have any questions, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Remember, there'll be three chambers as usual on FanDuel, one on DraftKings. Best of the best will be on Monday. Congrats, you made it to the weekend. Let's make some, you know what? I didn't get to play on Thursday. Hopefully, you guys made some money Thursday. But Friday, let's achieve some glory. I want to make some damn money on this slate. Also, remember, tweet out when I tweet the link. Tweet it out. If we get 100 retweets, I will give you a nice 10-minute video of my top plays around 6 p.m. Eastern on Friday. All right, that's it. That's the show. For the bailiff, for the judge, court is adjourned.